was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine. Marvel versus DC.
Hey, everybody.
You're out of practice.
Yeah, it's a big word. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 472. Small group, prepared, ready to go.
Always.
I know Spencer's at a funeral. Mike just picked up his books today. And
no milkshake challenge for you.
Okay. Yeah. I would not try that. I'd make it one milk crate.
I keep seeing milk crates. I have no idea what this thing
it's
is.
It's just a thing where you climb up a, like a little tower of milk crates. I think it's the open tops.
Yeah.
And try not to fall. Yeah.
But the question is, where did people get all these milk crates?
I
Oh, Dave.
Yeah.
I could explain it to you, but I'm not going to incriminate.
Oh, no, really? Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So, I'm a little beat. This was my first full day back since everything, and won't be doing another one of these for a bit. I've been mostly doing, like, half days. You can do about 4 hours, but...
But now you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, there was no, you know, I was talking to people, seeing a lot of people I hadn't seen since I came back, so that was good, and was only not here when I took Marley home. But, yeah, I am whooped. So we'll get right to it. One piece of news I forgot to talk about last week was Josh Williamson is the writer taking over Batman when James Tynion leaves. So
I liked his run on The Flash. That doesn't necessarily mean anything because I really like Brian Bucciolato's run on The Flash, but didn't like his Batman. It was Detective, but I wasn't a huge fan of that. So, you know, the characters are very different, but who knows?
We will find out. One other thing, I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about this, the Challengers podcast, and I did want to bring it up. It's kind of interesting. Publishers had really embraced returnability, where if you ordered so many, you could return. Boom had a thing where pretty much every book they were putting out was returnable. Vault, every one of their books was returnable. Image was doing it on most of their number ones. And it was just also affidavit returns, so you didn't have to actually strip the cover and mail them back, which was a pain. You just had to fill out an affidavit. So that was easy. And it definitely got me to bump my numbers on a lot of stuff. Like Aftershock still does it on their number ones. So if you look, that's why I always have a whole bunch of their number ones, because might as well find out where the level is, where the demand is. On some, it's worked great where I've sold through all my copies. Other times it hasn't done great and I've sold one. So it's just, it takes the pressure off us. Then Boom went and came out with a little book called Berserker. And it had returnability, and they also had a 1 in 1,000 signed Keanu Reeves variant.
So and people bought 1,000 to get that.
A lot of stores ordered it and then sent back 970 copies. Now, those you did have to strip and send back. And I guess the burden on Diamond was pretty great. Now, I don't feel 100% bad because I know they get a cut of every, like, they get like a nickel for every return cover or whatever. So... You know, they're getting a cut, but I guess that one was a little extreme. So they then instituted a policy where you can either have multiple covers or returnability for the publishers. So if there were more than two covers, I think it was two covers, it couldn't have returnability. So the publishers had to choose. And it seems like most of the publishers have chosen multiple covers over returnability. Boom is no longer offering returnability. Image is no longer offering returnability. Vault, I don't know about across the line, but they just had a new book by Peter Milligan that they were really pumping up. Like I think it was called Human Remains. And because it had three covers, I think, there was no returnability. And it was just one of those, you know, some Vault books have been great and taken off and been huge, like Barbaric. You know, I'm glad I was able to go big because I sold through and everything. But there's others that I haven't sold a single copy of. So it's like,
yeah. Yeah, you...
So, yeah, and sadly for us, we tend to aim low. We aim not to lose money. You know, we take worst-case scenario.
That's a crazy business.
I know,
model there.
I know, but they, you know, they're like, oh, you should order 100 copies. If I sell 8, then where am I at?
I was gonna say, well, no, I mean, that's the thing. You don't sell 100 Batman,
right,
which is your top selling book.
So there's definitely been a shift there, and it's going to be interesting to see if they notice that there's definitely a shift. My question for Diamond is, especially if they're affidavit returns, what does it matter? You know, you're not counting anything. Now, granted, they have to give us a credit, so they're taking our money and then crediting it back. I don't know if that's a big deal.
Yeah, but I assume that they're getting money from the publisher, so it's not like they're out.
Oh, they're not out anything, no.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just been something we've noticed, and we're just wondering. It's just kind of interesting. This fall is going to be very, very interesting. Just seeing all these things about supply line disruptions. DC sent an email saying books are going to be late because of COVID and all sorts of things. And we just keep hearing about this, and it's just one of those things that's just going to be a little bit scary. It's like, okay, if I can't get a lot of product, but I'm also ordering tighter on stuff, you know, we might go into, you know, December and not have a lot of stuff to sell. So yeah, that'll be fun. It was funny. I ordered 100, well, I guess it was 100 packs of bags. So 10 cases of bags from Diamond. And they sent me 8. And then the other 2 should have been in a box, but they were in a box of boards. Or, not boards, but of these boxes. I'm like, you know, somebody slapped the wrong sticker on this. I don't know what it is. Mm. They're like, well, we can't replace it because we're out. I'm like, so I literally got the last of Diamond's bags until they get a restock. So now if we can only get boards, it's killing me. I have a $1,400 BCW order just in boards.
Wow.
And don't know when it's coming. Because I don't even have any for the store. Yeah. So, but yeah, so that return, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of lesson the publishers get from this and see if numbers drop noticeably for them. Then the last thing is the anniversary. I opened the store the Tuesday after Labor Day in 2006, which was actually the 5th. So I've been doing this 15 years now, which I guess I got some staying power, and you know, we might make it. Which has always been funny, because they're like, most small businesses fold within, you know, before the 3rd anniversary and all this. So it's like, I think I'm doing good.
You have a good community here.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, there was a lot of building there. So.
Well, no, I know it didn't happen overnight, but yeah. I mean, that's, you know, when I first moved to the area, came here, it was very welcoming. Where I've been to other shops, it's like, you're not from, you know, mm-hmm. like very much, mm-hmm. you're an outsider. You know, my wife has come in here by herself, and she doesn't feel skeeved out. So that's, and I'm not saying, you know.
See, I look at it as, you want to give me your money? Okay. Welcome. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not every comic book store is like that. I'm not suggesting that, but unfortunately there are more that are than are not.
Yeah. So we're going to do something on Saturday. I don't know what exactly yet.
I wouldn't do it Saturday.
But then we're getting 2 weeks away from the anniversary. I get it, but I couldn't do it last one because it was Labor Day and too many people are out of town. I get it, but it's like if I kick it to the 18th, then I'm also doing something the first week of October, and now we're getting too close together.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, that's all. So it's not going to be anything big. I'm not doing a cookout or anything fun like that, but we'll do a little something as soon as I figure out what I'm doing.
Well, I mean,
my usual methodology.
Go back and look to see what you did last.
That's my like. I watch these people do these live sales on Facebook and stuff. And this one lady, Jen King down in Texas, has this like channel where she's interviewing all these people. And I'm just like, where do you guys have the time just to plan this? And I'm just like, God, yeah. I'm just tired all the time. But just in general, it's like, man. So, that's all I got for news and fun stuff like that. I need to do a much better job at keeping notes during the week. Because I know there was definitely more than that I was looking at. So, we have 3 questions. James asks, have I had any recent problems with books arriving on time from a certain publisher? Just wondering because my LCD had trouble with one in particular. cleverly capitalizing certain letters. But not necessarily. The last 2 weeks, my lunar shipments have arrived on Tuesday.
You just gave it away.
I know. Have arrived on Tuesday, which is fine for me, is bad if I'm putting them on sale Tuesday.
Yeah.
But
not a real big deal.
Have you seen a drop-off, though, because other people are selling them earlier?
I'm not. I don't. I mean, it's possible people could be driving to other stores to get them, but I don't know that many stores that are doing it. What's up, Tim?
Nothing.
Oh. So, no, I haven't seen a real problem. I haven't gotten them late. I know some places are getting them, you know, on, you know, late Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay.
So I can see that being a problem. It's, I don't know how much of it is Lunar's problem or how much of it is FedEx's problem. Like, this week's books were supposed to be delivered Saturday and then Sunday. Now, granted, I realize what are the chances they're actually coming those days. But both on Sunday, it said the business was closed when they tried to deliver it. I'm like, I don't accept that because my hours are on the door.
Yeah.
So you know exactly when someone will be here. And somebody shouldn't have to be here off hours just to get a shipment. But no, I have not seen any big problem. For a while there, we were getting them like the prior Thursday or Friday, which was great. But I'm certainly not going to get upset that they're not coming that early because we know Diamond's going to be here on Tuesday. So as long as it's here by Tuesday, we're good.
No, and this week was also Labor Day.
Right.
Which also,
right. Nope.
I would think that the only thing that might cause a problem is if there were damages, you're definitely not going to get them.
Well, we never get them that week anyway, so okay. It doesn't matter. The other thing is the 18th is Batman Day.
Mm.
So I can't step on Batman Day.
Enough.
Sorry. Batman Day. Okay. Mr. Ludwig says, worst guest appearance in a comic. And I know Dave could not come up with one of these.
I'm so bad at, like, worst questions.
Well,
like
this one was easy for me. Only because there's an issue of Daredevil from the 70s. Guest starring Uri Geller. Now, Uri Geller was a psychic guy, and he could bend spoons with his mind.
He was on Johnny Carson all the time.
Yeah. So he guessed, you know what? Hang on.
He did it with his mind.
No. You only recognize that the spoon doesn't
exist. No, he totally did it with his mind.
Now I go for the Matrix instead.
He's no Kreskin, but he was pretty good.
Right. So now, okay. He was in, Daredevil 133. Stan Lee had asked Marv Wolfman to put Geller in one of the magazines. So, Daredevil 133. Yeah, he was even on the cover. Yeah. A city in danger and only one man can help. The most shocking guest star of all, the incomparable Uri Geller. Gil Kane cover.
Wow.
Nice. Oh, now I gotta see. I read it. I own it. Let's see. Okay, come on, Wikipedia. Oh, come on. Okay. Written by Marv Wolfman, drawn by Bob Brown, my least favorite Daredevil artist. Come on, give me a synopsis here. Okay, story opens with Jester disintegrating the individual who has helped him smear Foggy Nelson in his quest for re-election as New York's district attorney. These commercials have also created unrest in the city with a wave of sensational TV scenes. Meanwhile, new district attorney Blake Tower has asked Daredevil to meet and assist the mentalist Uri Geller and help solve a crime spree in New York. Geller believes that his nemesis Mindwave, who he has previously confronted in Europe, is behind some criminal plot in the city. Geller's perceptions tell him Mindwave will strike on Wall Street. Daredevil rushes to the scene to fight Mindwave and his minions. Geller also arrives and assists Daredevil with his incredible mental powers that can bend and remove steel bars from their moorings. The two defeat Mindwave, and our tale ends on an upbeat note.
Who needs Magneto?
Yeah, so...
Got a power surge.
Yeah, so when the question came in about... more than a spoon.
Yeah.
When the question came in, his worst guest appearance, that one immediately popped popped to mind. Pat, any thoughts on that? No? Okay. So I'm going to be a little mean to Zach in my answers to his question. He's got a three-parter. A comics journalist saying webtoon creators are substandard in response to DC Webtoons deal. I don't care. Nothing against the creators, but
you don't care about
I don't care about the webtoons thing. I see they announced something today about it, and I'm just really tuning it out. There's so much going on right now around us, stores, that I'm just baffled. I get emails all day from creators about doing their Kickstarters, and then we have all the Substack stuff and all this stuff, and I'm just like, I just really don't care. You know, good luck to you, but I'm not going to be promoting or talking or hyping it because I just don't care.
Right, you're not going to see dollar one from it.
Part two, Tinian and Jerry Duggan are swearing off Twitter. Well, I think that's an interesting move, but I think they're a little full of themselves, only in the sense of Twitter's a great way to talk to your fans,
mm-hmm.
and especially just getting snippets out or links out, things like that. Now, if they're going to do everything through their newsletters, well, that's great, but now you're talking to a much smaller subset of people, and especially when if you're going to do it only through the paid subs, you know, the paid thing, that's going to be an even smaller group of people.
And is that interactive?
I don't think so. No.
Right. Whereas at Twitter, yeah. you can tweet yeah. back and go, "Hey, that looks."
And there's nothing better than when you say something like compliment a creator you really like, and they respond back or like it or something. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm always. Not tweeting Bill Sienkiewicz, but, you know, liking his tweets and, you know, or I guess commenting and he'll like it or he'll respond. Like I posted my Allred page and he responded to it. You know,
okay.
So, you know, little things like that that I think Twitter is great for. I realize there's a lot of bad on Twitter, but I think that's
what?
One thing I really
social
do.
Social media bad?
I do really like about Twitter. So swearing off Twitter, I think you're just, you know, again, I realize there's a lot of bad, but I think just the conversational aspect of it is
especially great. Now during a pandemic, and there hasn't been conventions, and you can't
yeah.
can't like get any feedback yeah. from fans.
Well, I mean, maybe I'm assuming too much. If their thought process is, why give it away for free when I can make somebody pay for it?
Right, but the question
but
is,
I don't care enough to pay for
right,
it.
Right, you're going to learn how many people are willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a, you know, it might do great for them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying maybe a fan wants to say, you did a great job on that issue. Now they're not gonna hear that.
Right.
Of course, if all they're doing is Substack books, I'm not reading,
right.
I'm not subscribing, I'm not
right,
going to see it anyway.
Right, right.
And then the last right. part was Amazon closing Comixology and moving everything to their site. I could 100% not care. Care less, you know.
I mean, you know, the man went to space in a dick. So I don't care.
And you don't respect that, Pat?
No.
Okay. So so that's all the questions. One other thing I wanted to talk about is kind of I'm part of this Facebook leadership group for small businesses. And I had to renew my application to stay in it. And they asked what our plans were for the future, how we've done how in this last year and like how Facebook has helped type of thing. And it was funny writing, basically I'm trying to keep the social aspect of the store going, which has been very important, but at the same time, you know, people aren't hanging around. We're not doing book club. We're not doing things like that.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to get more on Facebook. And I said, you know, I just had a little medical, I don't remember what word I used, not crisis, but issue. And I've definitely been thinking about what I want to do and definitely going to be focusing on the fourth quarter for doing a lot more stuff, getting people involved. So it's like I'm going to – I should – you know, you'd think when I was not here for, you know, 2 months that I would have all this time to think stuff over. But, man
– you had, what, 2 months during a pandemic
right, but,
where you were perfectly healthy.
But I was also really completely detached from here. You know, I'm not reading any comics. I'm doing the orders, but that was pretty much all I was really doing. I wasn't really keeping up on news. I wasn't reading anything.
But no one expected you to do it
during
your medical issue.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, during the pandemic, where you were still engaged with the store, and I'm not knocking it, but where you were, you know, you were still engaged with the store because had Pennsylvania said, hey, you can reopen tomorrow, you would have reopened tomorrow. You didn't do it. So when you got way bigger things to worry about, I don't think anybody expected you to be.
No.
Plus, anybody that knows you knows you're not a planner. You're a doer, not a planner.
Yeah. So my goal is for, like, starting in October, start doing not big stuff, but just more informational posts, more things to get comments, more things to.
Everybody loves Marley's Top 10.
Yes.
Although my wife did say yesterday it was really odd, you know, seeing Marley's Top 10 instead of Harry and Marley's
Top 10. I get it, but it just doesn't seem right saying Harry and Marley's Top 10.
No, I understand. I'm not.
Yeah.
It's not a knock. It was just
I get it.
You're used to.
Oh, I get it. Trust me. Every morning when I come down and that sofa spot on the sofa, there's nothing there. It's
I gotta tell you, when she went ape shit, I wish my wife was half as happy to see me as Marley was when I came to the store.
Yeah, she was. Well, it's not like she didn't have any treats all day. So,
no.
But yeah, she was jumping at the door. She was very excited to see you. Because I'm thinking about getting another dog, and part of me goes, well, what if it isn't as friendly here as Harry and Marley have been? What if I just got super lucky with them? Things like that. So I kind of go back and forth. But then part of me also goes, this is a pretty good gig. You can go up to people. You want, you know, you can get petted or not petted. You know, you're pretty safe here.
All the treats you could want.
Pretty much.
Couch to lay.
That's one thing with Harry is I do not regret a single cookie I gave him.
Oh, no. Hell, the first day you got him, you brought him here to book club. Everybody was getting pizza bones.
Yeah.
And that dog knew nothing but love the 2 years he was here. Yeah.
But that was my one rule is I'm going to give them as many treats as they want. And I don't regret it one bit. Now, Marley.
No one yells at you,
Porky.
Hey, Colin, stop eating cookies.
No, but the vet yells, hey, you got a Porky princess here. No, that's what I call her.
Tell me you're a chubby chaser.
Hey, now. Sam, where are the people?
Besides, fat bottom girls make the rock and roll go around.
That's true. So, Pat.
Yeah.
What'd you read?
Let's see. What did.
And I went back a ways to some older stuff. I was trying to get caught up on some stuff. So I only read 3 from last week, but I read 5 from before that.
Well, I read a couple from couple weeks, but Geiger. Anybody read that?
No, I only read the first one on that.
I'm behind on
okay,
that.
So what I did not realize was that
he's
Jeff
a counter?
No, Jeff Johns was setting up a whole Geiger verse. Did not get that.
Okay.
Till the last issue. He's got Junkyard Joe, which is like a G.I. Joe robot from
I saw the
World
ad
War II.
For that in the back, yeah.
Yeah, well, the character actually made an appearance in this issue.
Okay.
And it looks like they got some book with a bunch of stories about the King's Council or whoever they are coming to. Safari Bob was one guy and a bunch of different characters. So what we find out was basically, and Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was the little kid, the boy, was telling a story to someone else about when he was a kid and Geiger was helping him.
It seems like it. That's what I thought, too.
Okay. I'm glad I wasn't just imagining that. But, you know, Geiger has become a legend. And then also in the back they were talking about there were these other characters throughout history. Like there was a Redcoat who was a British soldier. There was one in World War II. There was one in Vietnam. And there were all these people kind of throughout history that had, they're basically legends. I thought that the ending of, here we go, what was it? Redcoat becomes immortal, then the Northerner, Junkyard Joe, American Widow X, First Ghost, Geiger, and the Unknown Wars. So, like, up to reading that, I just thought, hey, this is a pretty good story. I was having fun with it. And then it was like, oh, he's trying to bust out his own universe here. And quite frankly, he got me hooked. Because this has been an outstanding book.
It's been one of my favorites.
So, you know, my guess is the trade will come out here in a couple weeks. One I highly recommend. Let's see. What else I read? I read Masters of the Universe Revelations. It was the second one. So this one was kind of a different issue where Skeletor basically just gets frustrated with all his minions, and he's, you know, kind of sit down. And if you've ever like watched the original cartoon, Skeletor actually has a true arc where like he gets frustrated. He has emotions where he manages just see something, punch something. So Skeletor's frustrated with his people. He sits down. You can tell he's just exasperated, and it's him and Evil Lyn, and he tells his history. And it's not kind of like the regular history of the character, but in this he had a family, he had a wife, he had a child, and they died. Hordak could teach him blood magic, but would only allow him to resurrect one. So he picked his child, and then Hordak took the child and said, "When we conquer Eternia, you can have your child back."
And he became He-Man.
Okay. Actually, in Skeletor's original thing, he's actually He-Man's uncle. He's Randor's brother, Keldor. He goes through this story, and at the end, Evil Lyn's just like, "Look, I'm with you either way. Just stop bullshitting me." And it was just, no one believes him, and it's kind of left ambiguous. Did it really happen? Did it not really happen? Like, what is it? It was just kind of a cool way they did this. It absolutely read like Kevin Smith wrote it.
Okay.
And Kevin Smith did write it, but I mean not like that, but I mean just the interaction of the players, it very much felt exactly like it was, that it was a Kevin Smith thing. Let's see, I read the last issue of The Beauty.
Okay. It came out, 4 years after the... No,
it
wasn't
that. I think it was 2.5. I forgot what all was going on.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's surprising that after 2 years you don't remember what's going on with a book.
Do you even pay attention when you read?
No, apparently not. It wasn't... Like, it felt forced in that they were just trying to wrap it up, and it felt like that's what they were trying to do. Jeremy Hahn, who was the writer, he's gone on to write other things. And the book was solicited probably 6-7 months ago, and it never came out, and I just kind of forgot about it. And it felt pretty much like that. Like, it was just something that... You know, they maybe didn't have a whole lot of confidence in, so they just kind of stealth pushed it out and did that.
Okay.
But it's wrapped up. It was an interesting concept, but it is what it is. And the last one I'll talk about was Telepaths, which was a new AWA book. So... There's like a solar storm that hits, and it starts off, you meet a couple different characters, and you know, they're just kind of going about their day. Like, one guy's a cop and it was his birthday. One lady works, I don't want to say, she's at like a, I don't know if it's the Air and Space Museum, but it's something very similar, and the president's giving a speech there. One guy is like a convict in prison. And anyway, so this solar flare hits and everybody kind of just passes out. And then they come to, and some people are now telepathic. So like, there was an assassination attempt on the president, and before it even happened, she's, you know, yelling gun, 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 and they're able to take out the guy that's getting ready to do it without the president being harmed. The cop can hear his wife's thoughts that, you know, she's cheating on him. And then, you know, he's like, look, the world is ending because all these people, you know, like planes crash and all this stuff happened when everybody passed out at the same time. And I think some people may have died. That was a little unclear, but they at least passed out. So he goes outside and you know, he's not hearing, but in his mind, he's hearing all these people call out for help and, you know, what's happening and all this. So my guess is it probably, I don't think it has a direct connection to like the resistance, but I can see how they'll tie it in. But these are telepaths as opposed right. to superhumans.
Okay.
So, that's what I read.
Okay. Dave.
I'll start with...
Could you write any smaller?
I can't write okay. any smaller. Okay. Dark Ages.
I read that.
Number one. I thought you might read that one.
It's a Marvel event book. Of course I'm going to read it.
It's a Marvel event. We don't get a break from the events now. There's always an event going on.
He's got to be ready to pounce when all the customers come in the door for the next 4.5 minutes.
This is written by Tom Taylor. And it begins with Peter Parker and the spider heroes. They sense a danger bigger than Galactus. And then there's earthquakes and the Watcher shows up saying the Earth only has hours left. So then we get into who it is. It's the Unmaker, who's a being like 10 billion years old.
Who they created to save the universe. But because he ate so many black holes, he got twisted.
He's been corrupted.
To destroy the universe. And the Living Tribunal.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the Living Tribunal. He took him out and buried him in this new planet that was just forming. Put him in the middle of it as a prison.
Yeah.
And that planet was, Pat?
Mars?
Earth.
Earth?
Earth.
Welcome to Earth.
But not 616 Earth.
Oh, no.
Which surprised me.
Yeah, no, it couldn't be 616 Earth, because so many people died already.
Okay. I thought it was Mars, because, like, the X-Men were terraforming
no,
Mars.
It was Earth.
Earth.
So the Unmaker is beginning to awaken. So the heroes
put... punching his way out, which is causing earthquakes and everything.
So the heroes put together a team to go to the center of the Earth to stop the Unmaker. And it's...
Ben Grimm and Sue Storm.
Ben Grimm and Sue.
Vision.
Vision, Scarlet Witch, and Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And they try a bunch of stuff. And then finally, Doctor Strange opens a portal to another universe where the Earth... There's no technology because
right.
it has some kind of electromagnetic pulse
yep.
that doesn't allow for technology. So they defeat the Unmaker that way.
Because he's a giant robot.
Yeah.
Thing. So that does it. Doctor Strange is killed. Ben Grimm is killed. Vision, I think, is killed. Scarlet Witch probably. Oh, yeah. She got unmade.
Yeah.
But Doctor Strange threw Sue Storm through with him. But then because he died, the portal was still open.
They can't close it.
Yeah.
And
which
this pulse envelops the Earth.
Which led to, like, you know, Peter's web, you know, anything electronic doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, they show the web shooters don't work.
Yeah.
And Giant Man is stuck.
Right.
In the giant.
Yeah.
Tony falls
or
in the sky.
Yeah.
Ant-Man. And Vision
yeah.
is unresponsive. But then you find out that Peter has been telling the story from 7 years in the future. Where there's the Earth is in a dark age.
But now the bad guys are coming.
Yeah.
Led by Apocalypse.
Apocalypse, yeah. Yeah, they show Apocalypse at the beginning. He
yeah.
seemed excited for this.
Yeah.
I love the idea of Apocalypse being excited.
Looking at his costume, and I forget what they said he was, but I'm just like, what's the deal with the tubes going into his arms? I never figured that. Where are they going from? What's going on with those? I never understood what the point of those were. So, sorry. I don't know enough about Apocalypse. But that just, it always mm-hmm. seemed to me like, you know, Wolverine could just slash it. And, you know, if they were that important. Or yeah, wouldn't you get that caught on things in a fight?
Yeah,
you
know? I don't think it's like Bane and Venom where if you pull those
yeah.
out...
No, no, I don't either, but I'm just like, you know, you're running, all of a sudden it gets caught on a doorknob, you know.
I think when your name's Apocalypse, you don't
These are things I think of when I, you know, see silly
I
costumes.
I always get, like, the pocket on my shorts stuck.
Yeah,
my,
so imagine you have this giant tube going from your
knob.
Back to your wrist.
I can't
wrist.
Imagine having to yeah. walk around a giant yeah, tube. So.
That's but. Just me. But I don't remember who the other people were. But
yeah.
That's what I think, yeah. It didn't look,
know,
it was nobody.
Was Beast there? Beast?
I don't remember.
I can't remember Possibly. Either.
We'll flesh yeah. this out next issue.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Avengers.
That is the worst cover I've
Avengers
seen in a long
48.
Time. I did
yeah.
not like that cover.
This is part three, the World War
She-Hulk.
She-Hulk.
Yeah.
Arc.
It's very original.
yeah. I don't even know if I've talked about this one yet, but the Winter Guard has they kidnapped She-Hulk from Avengers Mountain because Gorilla Man's a traitor. He let the Winter Guard in because she like caused all destroyed Red Square, which I don't remember happening. But in now they put her in the Red Room. They're brainwashing her to be the Winter Hulk.
The Winter Hulk.
She has this white jumpsuit. She's turned red.
No, she was red. I was confused because she was red on the cover. Yeah,
and she has blonde hair now. So this issue is her going on a rampage. First, she because the Avengers they tried to save her at the place in Siberia and they couldn't do it. And now she's on a rampage, and first thing she goes to get Gorilla Man, but not to like hurt him or anything. I think she feels like they have something in common, but so she's like taking him with him.
See you, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
See you, Tim.
No, that's not bad at all, Tim.
And then we go to Blade is in Chernobyl, which is the new sovereign state for vampires. And She-Hulk went, the Winter Hulk went through there and killed all the vampires.
Oh.
And Blade is like the sheriff of vampire of Chernobyl. Vampire.
I had
vampire.
No idea.
Yeah.
When did you get that, Joe?
Couple issues ago, like three
okay.
issues ago.
Okay.
And then it ends with Winter Hulk and Gorilla Man. They're on this little rowboat. In the Atlantic Ocean, above Atlantis,
oh.
and she's about to take out Namor.
Okay,
and she takes out all these.
Atlantis got taken out with the earthquakes in Dark Ages. I'm so confused.
Yeah, I don't know what they need to publish a timeline here, but all these Atlanteans attack, and She-Hulk. And then the ocean turns red with blood. And then she's about to destroy Namor.
You'd have to kill a lot of things to turn the ocean red with blood.
I know. They show...
And there'd be, like, sharks everywhere. I know. Throwing logic at it.
So that's World War She-Hulk
okay.
for you.
I just responded to Tim.
Go to Black Hammer. Black Hammer
okay.
Born, number 3. This is Lucy Weber... Daughter of Black Hammer takes place in, well, they're flipping between 1996 when she became the new Black Hammer and the present time when she has a husband who she's not getting along with and 2 kids and she's not Black Hammer anymore. And the big review in this issue is that her husband, Elliot, they're at counseling and she does want to talk about her past, but it's revealed that her husband Elliot was a former supervillain. I wouldn't say supervillain, maybe just villain, because he named the Lightning Rod because he had electricity coming out of his fingers. And he said, "I have electric fingers," and he says, "Please stop saying that."
Sparkle Boy, or whatever.
And he said she caught him stealing coins from a laundromat. And he said, I planned on being a hero, but I had a bad week, so I decided to be a villain instead. And then it ends on the cliffhanger. The Parazone is coming into Spiral City like it did 20 years ago. And she goes home to get her husband and kids. And she finds Colonel Weird sitting on the couch talking again that the world's going to end. Interesting thing, there's a character, there was a miniseries, Dr. Star.
Mm-hmm.
But in this, there's a subplot with Dr. Star, but now he's known as Dr. Andromeda. They had to change the name.
Oh, okay.
There was a legal issue.
Oh, jeez.
So that messed me up a little bit, trying to keep that straight. But now he's known as Dr. Andromeda and Skull Diggers in this, too. There's a subplot with them. And the last one I'll talk about is Gru Meets Tarzan.
I did not read that.
Number 2. This series has been really good.
Lots of dialogue. Dialogue heavy, I'm guessing.
Lots of dialogue, for the most part. But it's like three separate stories in one here. Because there's a story of Sergio Aragonés and his writing partner, Mark Evanier. And they're at San Diego Comic-Con, and Sergio gets lost in the Safari Land park. And Mark's worrying about him while he's, like, moderating these panels. And Sergio's favorite hero is Tarzan. So he's dreaming about Tarzan, this adventure with Tarzan. And the Tarzan part is drawn by Tom Yates. I think he does the Prince Valiant strip.
Okay.
Now, so it's in that naturalistic style. And there's a story about Tarzan, and he's tracking this boat that belongs to slave traders along the coast. And then we get to the Gru part, and Gru, you know, he's searching for the greatest cheese dip in the world, of course, because he loves cheese dip. And he's going to these towns, and all the people, you know, that stuff's the funniest, because all the people hate to see him come, because he's going to cause all this horribleness. And Gru wanders around up
Gru
the mountain.
Wanders?
Okay. He's a wanderer, yeah. up the mountain, through the cave, and then he ends up in a strange land, and it's where Tarzan is in the jungle. And so we have like Gru drawn by Sergio inside this, the rest is drawn by Tom Yates. And they just meet in the last couple pages of this. I was wondering how they were going to get together. But it's been a blast, I think. It's been really funny. And that's it.
Okay. So, well, I got a bunch.
All right.
From this week, I read Almost American, which is a new one from Aftershock. I guess where I get into trouble with some of these is I read the solicit, because like we just did the TV show, so the solicit was really fresh in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't all in the first issue. Like, the solicit was a little more about the series. So it's like I'm reading the book, and it's basically about two Russian operatives who are in, the Dominican Republic, and they go to the U.S. Embassy to defect because things are going bad for them. So they want, you know, they have all this information, if you can just get us out. And so they do that, and the rest of the book is them just getting out of the country. Well, the solicit is about, you know, the Russians doing that, but also that they then become pawns in a battle between like the FBI and the CIA. And then while that's all going on, then they also have to fight. All of a sudden the Russians are coming hunting for them. So like none of that was in this book. It was just a very simple thing. And then it looks like, I don't know the right. It's not the writer was Ron Mars, but it's like based on a real life story, and they show you the guy and stuff. So it like wasn't everything I was expecting. Let's see. We'll get back to that. Pennyworth. We got it back in, and Tim had me read it because he really liked it. And it was good. I had watched most of the show. I think like on a free Stars. I wasn't getting Stars just to watch that. But it was good. It was like, it was talking about his, you know, it was him younger as a, you know, MI5 operative or whatever, whichever MI it is. But, you know, going on missions and things like that.
MI6.
And then in the present tense, he's being held captive. And he's like, well, what they don't know is that I this thing where every day between 2 and 3, I send an innocuous text to my buddy. And if he doesn't hear from me, he'll come. Well, then they show that his buddy is also being held thinking the exact same thing. So, but, you know, this is more older Alfred. So, but it was good. It was, it, you know, fun, you know, British spy kind of fun thing. Eat the Rich, I just read. Interesting. This one is... Darn it, who did that one? I want to say Boom, but maybe not. But it was interesting. It's about this girl. She's going home to her boyfriend's home for the summer, and he's rich, and he's worried about going back because he'd given up drinking while he was in school, and this is his first time back that he wasn't going to have to be drunk the whole time there. And she's just worried about not fitting in because she's not, you know, rich, and she's very nervous about that. And they get there, and she's totally not fitting in. She's talking to the help. She's not supposed to talk to the help. And then there's this big party at the end, this retirement party for like a gardener. And it basically ends with her boyfriend's stepfather murdering the gardener. And then they put him, like they show it, put it, somebody ripping off his arm and putting it on a grill. So Eat the Rich being basically real. So, yeah, that was interesting. I'm interested to see where this goes. But, yeah, you're following her, and she's totally out of her element, and it was good. Batman 111, just kind of moving the story along about Simon Saint and the Peacekeepers and all that stuff. I'm going to kind of blur that one because I read that one and I read the Fear State Alpha. So, basically, in those two books... There's a new, someone has overtaken the Oracle network. Like it's, they finally, the mayor has instituted the magistrate to take over, and they took over all communications. So Oracle's like, well, I still have, you know, my network. And then all of a sudden someone has taken over that. And they're telling the people, you know, be scared. Don't trust the government. All this stuff. She's like, no. And so that's going on. And then it looks like Peacekeeper 1 has taken a beating and is now starting to freak out. And yeah, a lot of stuff. Like, there's been all this stuff throughout this thing where it's showing Batman tied up in a chair.
Yeah.
But when, and I don't understand when that happened or what's going on. And so a lot of that is just very confusing. But in this, then they go looking for Poison Ivy to help. There's two Poison Ivies now. And because Catwoman has different Poison Ivy, that was a little confusing. So I feel like I've read all the issues, but I'm not sure what all is going on. And then a new Batman came out today. And then I read X-Men 2 and X-Men Trial of Magneto, and I'm sure a lot of it is merged in my head. Trial of Magneto.
I read that.
Basically, well, good, then you'll tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Trial of Magneto. They're investigating what was going on, which is kind of interesting. They have the people doing the autopsy and a different group of people examining the crime scene, and they're seeing the same things.
Yeah.
That her hands were bound with some type of metal. She couldn't defend herself. And they're like, maybe it's because someone she knew or someone she, you know, respected. I-Boy stepped up a lot for me in this, where he could see in different spectrums, and I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. I thought he was just a guy with all these different eyes. But so he could see stuff into different spectrums and, you know, see X-ray vision and gamma and all stuff. So that was kind of cool. And Magneto kind of goes off on Professor X, which I thought was interesting that he, like, squeezed his helmet or something. Yeah. Professor X had to take it off, and that was the first time since... the beginning of all this that I've actually seen his face. I never honestly believed it was Professor X under the helmet.
Yeah,
I thought it was somebody else the whole time. So that was interesting. They had a vote. Like, they could bring back Scarlet Witch, but they had a vote, and it got voted down, so they chose not to bring her back.
She's like a full mutant or something.
Right, well, I guess she's no longer a mutant. Now she's a human.
I
don't know.
How does that work?
I don't know. But yeah, so basically now they're on the hunt for Magneto. Okay. And then I read X-Men 2.
Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah, I feel bad, but like number one sold a ton, and nobody came back for number two, and a lot of people are dropping the series. So
I like what.
This is Jerry Duggan taking over after Hickman. But
is he going to stick around since he's doing the Substack?
Who knows? But in it, there's this bar that they revealed, I think probably in issue one, in outer space where they placing bets and trying to find somebody who can wipe out Earth. And so somebody sends, it's an annihilation wave. I'm like, but we're doing Last Annihilation in Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, it's like, are you guys, you know, your editors not talking?
Didn't they used to do like a editor and writer's retreat?
Yeah, so, yeah, I was very, I'm like, oh, is this what that's going to be about? Or, but basically, this guy comes down to Earth and drinks this stuff, and he turns into, like, all these creatures, and they start attacking this little town, like in Oklahoma, for want of a better word, you know, town. And so the X-Men come, and they're able to wipe everything out, and Sunfire's the big hero because he goes, you know, supernova or whatever, and wipes everything out. Sync was interesting because he was playing with syncing different powers, and who he should sink, who needs backup, things like that. So that was interesting. But then the townspeople all like accept him and cook him dinner, so that was kind of neat. And it was like Sunfire for the first time felt accepted.
Right.
So.
And they have this treehouse.
Yes, and they were playing poker in the basement with it was Gambit, and Thing and Rhino,
Black Cat.
Okay.
I think Black Cat too.
Having a poker game that Rogue was not.
Rogue goes, you can't do this. We got to get.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's not been bad, but it's interesting just seeing how the drop off from Hickman, and I wonder how much of an effect this will have that Hickman's plan was never enacted. You know, you had all that build up from House of X and Powers of Ten that's not really going to come to fruition.
He's doing the Inferno.
Right, but that's like a little mini series just wrapping up. So. Yeah, that's a little disappointing. And then seeing, like, a lot of people, like, X-Factor ended and, you know, a lot of changes. Yeah, and it's like, are we ever going to get... At least I saw in a House ad, showed Moira. I'm like, oh, we're finally going to address the Moira issue.
Yeah, it seems like that stuff is starting to be forgotten.
Yeah. But there was something, it must have been in X-Men 2, where somebody was talking about, it was Cyclops. And they had, like, a blood sample, or they had Cyclops' death, but now he's back. And so there was something going on from before. So, or at least, if not before, at least before a death. So I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who that was. Mm-hmm. So, but that's all I read. I will do better.
Well, you've done worse. So
I've done worse, but I had high hopes for last night, and I just kind of ran out of time. So, well, my problem is, like, if I go home and read tonight, I'm never going to remember next week when we talk about the books.
Or you could take notes, but that ain't happening.
I could take notes, but...
That ain't happening, we know.
So, Patrick.
What's coming out next week?
So, it's kind of a weird week. This is a weird month. It's a 5-Wednesday month, and so each week seems to be a little thinner. This one seems really thin.
Are we going to get any Halloween books?
I don't remember. Somebody else asked me. I don't know that we're doing... We'll get Halloween, like, themed books, like...
Yeah.
DC's doing their Halloween thing, but like the packets to give away, I don't.
I was thinking like the Halloween theme books because they never do them at the right time.
Right.
So I figured we either get them now or in December.
Yeah. They're doing the new Star Wars Adventures, Vader's Castle.
Yeah.
Horror.
The one funny thing is they're bringing back the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Oh yeah.
Guess when the first issue comes out.
November 1st.
You are correct, sir. Or November, whatever. I think it's the 3rd, but still, yeah. It's like, seriously?
Oh my gosh, really?
Look, it's been 4 years. You can't... You expect this on time?
So it's 51 weeks early. Okay, get it. Yeah. So next week, we have Batman 89 number 2. I never even had a chance to see number 1. It came out when I was in the hospital. We have the Harley Quinn, the animated series, the Eat, Bang, Kill Tour. Based on the spirit of the animated series, where she's raunchy. I am Batman number 1. This is the Luke Fox one or whatever. Rorschach 12, wrapping that one up. I'm so far behind. And Titans United, which is a mini series where it's the original Titans. Mm. Or not the original, but like the new Teen Titans. So I thought it was interesting looking at this. I I do not. I have no book starting with A next week. DC starting with Batman 89. The first book is Batman Scooby-Doo Mystery. Or those are just some little books. But yeah, Battle Cats, Bermuda, Betty Page. No A books. Wow. How weird.
Nothing Avengers.
No. So we have Eternal Thanos Rises, a one-shot. Tying into the series about Thanos. Extreme Carnage Agony. Fantastic Four 35, which is wrapping up the big wedding thing.
That's the really big anniversary issue.
Yeah, this is the $10 book. Godzilla Rivals versus Mothra. Who doesn't love that? Kang the Conqueror number 2. Number 1 sold really well. Last Annihilation Wakanda. So that's tying into the Annihilation event, of which we now have two. Maw number 1. This is from Boom. Lady goes on a retreat with her sister, and something happens, and she turns into a monster. Primordial. Now, this is another one. This Ooh. Is an interesting one. This is Jeff Lemire through Image about the monkeys that went up into space and disappeared, and everybody just assumed they died, but someone actually stole them, and now they're coming back. But this one, had it been returnable, I would have ordered a lot more. But I really had to go based on pre-orders because... You know, it wasn't returnable, so I felt bad. But
yeah.
Red Room number 4, that one has been hugely popular. That's the Ed Piskor book through Fantagraphics. Second Coming, Only Begotten Son number 5, week after number 4. Now, it looks like number 4 came out from Diamond 2 weeks ago, but I ordered it through Lunar, and it came in this week.
Oh, okay.
So, only did that because the discount is better through Lunar, so that's what I did. But now I have 5 coming through Diamond because it's confusing. Star Wars, we get Darth Vader 16 as part of the War of the Bounty Hunters, and Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters, boosh, with 2 H's. And we have the Vampiverse number 1, which is Vampirella from all sorts of different realities. Like we have Sonya Versal going on right now, which is Red Sonya from all different. Yeah, man, it's Dynamite Tuesday. It's just crazy how much, you know, it's just... banging those same drums. And then we have X-Men Trial of Magneto number 2. So we'll see where that one goes. So,
you're just trying to fill the void to Boundless.
Yeah. Kind of. So Saturday we'll do something something fun for the 15th anniversary.
I thought you were just up for the anniversary. I'm like,
no, no. Then the 18th is Batman Day. So we'll have fun. Yay. So that's about all I got.
Let's all dress up like... never mind. Like Thomas and Martha Kent and get shot. You have an alley. We could...
That,
you have an alley back
we'll
there.
Reenact it?
Yeah, so we can do a reenactment.
Oh, Patrick. So, the website's PittsburghComics.com that I really need to get revamped. I did finally today updated the thingy.
I was saying, what's this month?
This month is IDW. I figured we hadn't done an IDW in a long time. So
I was going to say, because this month is not June, and I think...
updated today. Website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. And my goal is, at least starting in October, to be flooding them with information and fun stuff. So, that's all I got. Patrick.
Patrick Podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.